on Nunches Amud Beis, about six lines from the bottom. Reish Lakish Ikrulu Batra. Reish Lakish came to the town Basra. Basra is southern Iraq. But he made a big mistake. We learned back in Masechta Makos that the angel of Edom is going to make this mistake. He thought that Batra is the same place as Betzer Bamidbar. Betzer Bamidbar is a place for one of the cities of refuge, which is in the land of Israel. So, in Ir Miklat, exactly. So, Chazi Yisrael Dekachli Peiri, Dulom Asri. He saw Jews eating wheat that they had not taken tithes off. He figured, if it's in the land of Israel, you have to give tithes before you eat from it. So he said, hey, stop. He stopped them. He prohibited them from eating that wheat. What else did he see? Chazamai, the Sagdilu of the Kochavim. He saw water and non-Jews worshipping this water. And then the Shasu Yisrael, then Jews were drinking the water. Vasalu. So again, he prohibited to them. He said, hey, you guys are making a big mistake. It's idolatry. You can't drink it. Then Asalakamadi Rabbi Yochanan. Then he came before Rabbi Yochanan, his teacher, who's also his brother-in-law. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan said, you were wrong. Adam akuturach alach, when your clothing is still on you, don't change, just run. Zil hadar, go back. And change both rulings. Why? Betzer lav hainu batzra. Batzra is not the land of Israel. Betzer is the land of Israel. Betzer and Batzra are two different places. And secondly, in terms of Avodah Zarah, in terms of idolatry, Mayim Shel Rabim, water that belongs to the masses, Eines Sarin, doesn't become prohibited when a non-Jew bows to it, because if it's the property of somebody else, as we learned, Ein Adam Oser Davar Sheino Shelo, you can't prohibit it the property of somebody else unless you do an action to the property itself. Here they're bowing to the water. Doesn't become prohibited through bowing. That's right, they did nothing to create it. Very good. So, Rabbi Yochanan L'tameh. This is Rabbi Yochanan following his logic. Now starting today's daf.
Is that because they didn't do anything to create it, or because it's public? It's a public facility.
It doesn't belong to them. And they did. And as Roger says, they did nothing to create it. We'll see. Mayim shel rabim, water that belongs to the whole community. It doesn't become prohibited by people bowing to it. So the Gemara says, Hadi Yachid Nesarin. This is Kim's question. If this water would have belonged to an individual and he would have bowed to his own water, it would have become prohibited. But why don't you say it doesn't become prohibited that it's attached to the ground? It's like a mountain, something attached to the ground. Can't become prohibited. Their gods are on the mountains. The mountains themselves don't become gods. Lo tzricha, the answer is the Talshinu Gala. Maybe it was talking about a case where a wave came and detached these waters from the spring. A wave came, the waters lifted off of the spring, and then the Gentiles were bowing to these waters that are flying in the air. So it's not attached to the ground anymore. And that's why, well, because it belongs to the community, they can't prohibit it. But had it belonged to an individual, it would have been prohibited. So the question is, well, even if it's detached by the wave, that's Roger's point. So then it's like stones of a mountain that fall off. Let's say you have a mountain and a couple of stones roll off, and then people are worshipping these stones. So there is a whole question whether or not that becomes prohibited, whether or not that's the action of people. It wasn't the action of people. So maybe it's not prohibited. Is this a proof to Rabbi Yochanan who, in that earlier discussion about the stones that roll off of a mountain, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that they are prohibited. So Gemara says, we didn't say that. So lo tzricha, okay, the case is not that a wave detached the waters. D'tavchinu biyadei. A person detached the waters with his hands. The non-Jews came. Somebody put his hand into the spring, flipped the water up, and then some other non-Jew bowed to that water. So, in terms of human hands, there's human hands. In terms of it being attached to the ground, it's no longer attached to the ground. But because it belonged to the whole community, it didn't become prohibited. Had it belonged to an individual, and he would have his spring of water, and he would flip some of the water up and bow to his water, then it would become prohibited. But it belonged to the community, And that's why it didn't become prohibited.
Like the Nile in Egypt, right? Wasn't that like a god?
Good, okay. But we don't find that it was prohibited.
So if you have a spring in your backyard and splash the water up, so that's
human action. Well, if somebody splashes the water up and then he bows to his own spring, to that water that he splashed up, that's prohibited, for sure.
If he goes to Hudson River and do this, it's a public water, isn't it?
It's public water. You can't prohibit the Hudson.
Is this having a water? Even somebody on the harm, we still stick into the
we've learned before. For sure. For sure. Okay, so that was one story, the story of Rish Lakish in Batra. All right, now another story. Rav Chiya bar Abba, Ikla le Gavla. Rav Chiya bar Abba came to Gavla, and he also saw three things going on there that were very upsetting. Chaza benos Yisrael, he saw Jewish girls, demi Abran me'ov de kocham shemalav lo tavlu, that were getting impregnated by Gentiles who had had circumcision but had never gone to the mikveh yet. That was problem number one. Number two, Chazachamra, the Mazgo of the Kochavim, the Shasu Yisrael. He saw wine that Gentiles were diluting with water, and nevertheless, Jews were drinking it. We learned yesterday that even though if a Gentile dilutes the wine with water, that's not really idolatrous wine, but based on the general rabbinic dictum that we try to keep people away from danger, we tell a Nazir you can't walk into the vineyard because you might take some of the grapes. So here, also we should say that you can't drink this wine because it will lead to drinking Gentile wine. And number three, Chaza Turmusa. I think Turmusa says chickpeas. How do they translate it?
Lupine.
Anybody know what lupines are?
We have Turmusa. It's a bean.
Show me. That's what we're still selling in Israel. Show me.
All right.
Looks like a flower. But
looks like a flower of some sort. Turmusa.
It's a legume.
It is it's a type of a kidneyos, but yeah. All right. All right, so he saw the turmas, the shalkalu of the kochavim, the Gentiles are cooking it, you know, significantly. And then v'achti Yisrael, and Jews were eating it. So what about the issues of bishul akum? You can't eat what a non-Jew cooks. So, Rav Chiya bar Abba v'lo amru v'lo midi. He didn't tell them anything about these three problems. Asa l'kamadi Rabbi Yochanan. He went in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amaleis, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, you should go back, and you got to stop all three. Number one, Sei v'achrez al b'neim shem mamzerim. Go and announce that their children are mamzerim. We'll see. Al yena mishum yenesech, announced that their wine is prohibited wine. You can't even get benefit from it. It's yenesech. Val turmesin, and about these lupine legume dishes, mishum bishuli of the kochavim, that they cannot eat it. It's bishul akum. Mipnei sheinu bnei Torah. Because this is a town, Gavla, where they're not Torah scholars. They don't study Torah. They're not knowledgeable. And because they're not knowledgeable, they make lots of mistakes. So they're not going to be able, if you tell them, well, the lupine's not really bishul akum, because as we're going to see, it's not something that a king would eat, and bishul akum is only a dish that's olal shulcha malachim that could go on a king's table. This would never be served at a state dinner. If you tell them that, they're just going to think there's no such thing as bishul akum, period. Then they'll start eating steaks that are prepared by non-Jews. So therefore, they're not Bnei Torah, they don't know, you just tell them the whole thing's prohibited.
So Rabbi, because they don't know, all of a sudden he calls them mamzerim?
Oh, 1 second, that's the next line of the Gemara, very good, good. All right, so Shehem mamzerim, number one, tell them that the children are mamzerim. That is from the letter of the law according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Tameh, this is Rabbi Yochanan following his opinion, which we do not accept in the halacha, but it was an opinion. Rabbi Yochanan used to say, that we do accept. You're not a convert until you circumcise and immerse in the mikvah. But Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion, given to Lotavil, if someone hasn't gone to the mikvah, Ovid Kochavim, who is still a non-Jew, which we accept. But Rabbi Bar Bachan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Bar Bachan says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ovid Kochavim ve'evet abal bas Yisrael, if a non-Jew or a slave have intercourse with a Jewish girl, Havlad Mamzer, the child is a Mamzer. Remember, to become a mamzer, it's a birth from an intercourse where there was no tfisas kiddushin, there was no possibility of marriage. There is no possibility of marriage to a non-Jew. So therefore, the child is a mamzer according to Rabbi Yochanan. However, the Chacham, you know, we've learned that Rabbi Akiva disagrees. That's a weak paskin like, but Rabbi Yochanan held that the child is a mamzer legitimately. Okay, that's point number one, because they're having intercourse with non-Jews. He thought that the child of a non-Jew and a Jew is a mamzer. All right. Now, number two, gazur al yena mishum yai nesach. Tell them that their wine is prohibited. You can't even get benefit from it. So the Gemara says, why should the wine be prohibited? The non-Jew didn't touch it. He just put water into it. The answer is, mishum lech lech amina nazir, skor skor lekamer l'tikrav. When you have a nazir who's not allowed to have any grapes, we tell him, hey, go around here. Don't walk down this path. This path leads through a vineyard. We don't want you to be in the vineyard, because if you're in the vineyard, you might take some of the grapes. So the same thing. The biggest problem is wine that a non-Jew touches and stirs, because when he stirs, he may be pouring it to idolatry. That's the biggest problem. That might become an offering to idolatry. But we don't even want you to get close to it. So if the non-Jew is putting water into the wine, and you get close to that by drinking that, then before you know it, you'll even be drinking the wine that the non-Jew stirs, that the non-Jew pours to the idol. So therefore, tell him that the wine's prohibited. And point number three, Val Turmusan, and their, what'd you say, lupine, Mishum Mishule of the Kochavim, that it's a problem because it was cooked by the non-Jews. But that was only Lefishayin of Bnei Torah. That's because they are not Torah scholars, so they're not going to, if you tell them that this is permitted, then they're going to permit all sorts of things cooked by non-Jews. You have to say to them, this is also not allowed, so that they get to know the law. Time of Einu B'nei Torah. The issue is that they are not B'nei Torah. B'nei Torah. But if they would be B'nei Torah, Sharia would be allowed. Why would it be allowed? I, V'amar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, I'm a Rav. Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak taught the name of Rav. Kol Shenechal K'mo Shu Chayim Bo Mishum Mishuli Ovde Kochavim. If something can be eaten raw, let's say an apple, you eat the apple raw, so even if the apple is cooked by the non-Jew, it's not prohibited. But this lupine is not eaten raw. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Kiach Lishna Svir Leir. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with the following version, which we saw again earlier. Dam Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav. Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak said in the name of Rav, Kol She'on Eino Olu L'Shulchan Shal Molach Molafit Bo Es HaPas Eino Mishub Mishuli Akum. Anything which wouldn't go onto the table of kings in order to help the bread taste better, that if it's cooked, it's not a problem of Bishul Akum.
Rabbi, is this Shittato Shel Rabbi Yochanan, or just because Gzirat HaShah, he felt that because not B'nai Torah, if he would have Madgish B'nai Torah...
Right, because they weren't B'nai Torah, that's why he had to rule this way. Correct. Because they were not B'nai Torah, that's right. So, really, this is not Bishul Akum. It's not prohibited, because it's not royal food. It's not food that would go on a king's table. But, time adena b'nei Torah. But because they are not b'nei Torah, he told them it's also not allowed. B'nei Torah. If they'd be b'nei Torah, they'd be able to know the distinction. And still be careful with the laws of Bishul Akum in other contexts. Sorry, then it would have been allowed. Okay, next point. Bomine me Rav Kahana. They asked the question of Rav Kahana. Ovid kochavim, ma'u shiolech hanavim legat. What's the law? Can a non-Jew help transport grapes of a Jew to the wine press for the Jew to step on them? Okay. So we saw earlier that the Jews allowed to even buy the semi-pressed grapes from the non-Jewish wine press because it's not yet wine, it's not yet in the cistern.
Yeah.
So what about having a non-Jew help the Jew transport the grapes to the Jewish wine press? Amalahus, he told them, Asur, it's not allowed. Not that it's not allowed from the basic standard of Yei Nesach. It's not wine, it's grapes. But it's prohibited for this last point that we've seen now. Mishum lech lech amrina nazira, schor schor lekamer lo tikrav. We tell a nazir, no, you walk away from here. You're going a roundabout road. Don't walk through the vineyard, because you might end up eating from the vineyard. So we have to stay away from what might end up being a problem. So too, we tell him you have to walk away. I would guess so. That's what it sounds like. It's only Jews doing the work, I would assume. Eisvei Rav Yemar Rav Kahana. Rav Yemar challenged Rav Kahana. We learned. Ovid kochavim shevi anavim legas. If a non-Jew brings grapes of a Jew to a wine press, v'salin v'kardorin, in these little buckets and baskets, and even if wine is pouring on them. When they pour it out into the wine press, mutter, it's all permitted. So you see that there is no problem of the non-Jew bringing grapes to the wine press. Amluhu, Rav Kahana answered to Rav Yemar. No. Hevi kamarta. If it was brought, it's not prohibited. That's bidiyavad. But I'm saying in the first instance, you shouldn't bring it. Okay. Ahu esroga, another story. Okay, so we had multiple stories. We have the story of Rish Lakish when he got to Batra, and there was the issue of the water and the issue of the wheat. There was the story of Reb Chiya in Gavla with the issue of the children of the intermarriages and the issue of the diluting of wine and the issue of Bishul Akum of cooking lupine. We had the question about grapes being brought to the wine press, which we said, lechatchila, you shouldn't do it because it might lead to drinking the Gentile wine. Bidiyavad, if it was done, it's okay. And now we have a fourth issue, fourth story. Ahu esroga denafa lechavisa dechamra. There was an esrog that fell into a barrel of wine. So idvi ovid kochavim, a Gentile jumped, v'shakle, and he grabbed the esrog to stop it from sinking into the barrel of wine. So now, when he put his hands into the wine to grab the esrog, he's not trying to pour anything to idolatry. He's trying to get an esrog. This is what we've learned before. This is shalom b'kavana. So Amaluhu Rav Ashi told him, hey, his hand's in the wine. Before you know it, he might start stirring the wine for his avodah zarah. So naktu liyadin, grab the hand. Grab that hand that went into the wine to catch the esrog. Don't let it move. So that he doesn't stir the wine, and the stirring of the wine might be the stirring for avodah zarah. Okay, so now you're holding the hand. And now even when you're holding the hand, uvratzuha, turn the barrel on its side, ad deshaif, until you pour out all the wine to another utensil. Pour out the wine to another utensil so that he won't stir it further. And only once the wine is away from him, then you can let his hand out of the barrel. Now, apparently, even though they were holding his hand, so apparently we're worried that if there's still wine there when he puts his hand out, he's still going to deal with the wine, and maybe he'll stir some of it for avodah zarah. Therefore, they said, hold the hand in and pour the water out, pour the wine out, then when there's no wine near his hand, then let him remove his hand.
Wow. Rabbi, which one is worse? This? Or they have... Recently, I was in a simcha that they had benches all over the tables, okay? And they leave them there and go, and all these, you know, service guys over there, they just throw everything, you know, just in the garbage.
Right.
Okay, these benches and everything.
That's very tragic.
So, I want to know which one is worse. This, putting your hand, or the benches in the garbage? Why do they live with that? Those mailings that they do, these all these yeshivas and meshivas, and you know, they send out all kinds of prayers in the mail, and people just throw them in the garbage, you know, with the name of Hashem and this and that, you know, it's disgusting.
It's a good point, yeah, it's true. We have to be more careful. That's very true.
You know, we watch this and we don't watch that.
We should watch both. We have a lot of work to do, that's true. I'm a Rav Ashi. Now Rav Ashi said, Hayobit Kochavim de Naschi Lachamu Yisrael Bechavana. Let's say a non-Jew deliberately pours Jewish wine to an idol. Even though you can't sell it to another Gentile, because once it was poured to the idol, it's Takrovas Avodah Zarah, it's an offering of Avodah Zarah. An offering of Avodah Zarah, you can't get any benefit from it, so you can't sell it to a Gentile to get money for it. But nevertheless, Sharalei Lemishkal Dameh, you're allowed to tell the Najee, you know, you ruined my wine, and he should now pay you, and you can get paid for the wine, Me'ahu Ovikochem, from that non-Jew. My time a wide, Miklakalia, the non-Jew burned the wine, basically. It's like a non-Jew coming in and destroying your property. So he can always pay you for having destroyed your property. That's not called getting benefit from the property. He took away your property. So you had wine. So he can reimburse you for what he took away by having turned it to Avodah Zarah. Amar Rav Ashi said, Mina Amin Allah, what was my source for this law that you're allowed to be reimbursed, as Jason pointed out so correctly, from the non-Jew who poured the wine to Avodah Zarah? Titania, we learned in a Brisa. Ovid Kochav Mashanisech Yeno Shal Yisrael. A non-Jew who pours the wine of a Jew by, let's say, stirring it, shalob b'fnei avodas kochavim, even though it wasn't in front of the idol, aser, the wine becomes prohibited. You can't get any benefit from it. However, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Matirin, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira disagree. They hold that you could get benefit from this wine. Yishum shnei dvarim. They have two reasons. Echa, number one, shemen aschen yain al b'fnei avodas kochav. The pouring of wine before an idol normally is only in front of idols. So if there's no idol around, even though the guy is saying I'm doing it as a religious service, it's not called religious service. One second. Echa, and reason number two, why they would permit this wine. Shomer lo, the Jew can tell the non-Jew, lo kol heiminach, you do not have the power, shetes or yeni laonsi, that you should be able to prohibit my wine against my will. It's not your wine, it's my wine. So why should you have the right to prohibit the wine against my will? So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, we can say like this. Now, Rashi points out, we don't agree with them. We don't say that you can sell the wine that a non-Jew stirs to another non-Jew. But nevertheless, from that non-Jew who did the stirring, you should certainly be allowed to be reimbursed for the damage that he caused. Based on this reason, he shouldn't be so powerful to be able to cause you to totally lose the wine and not get any reimbursement for it. He doesn't have that power. It's not his wine, it's your wine. So based on that idea, that's why you're allowed to take the money back from him. Because Lav Kol Himeno, he's not so powerful. Lav Kol Himeno, you're not that powerful. Shates or Yeni Laonsi, that you should be able to prohibit my wine against my will.
Yesterday, the guy who runs around the store just touching everything to disqualify it.
Exactly, yes.
He didn't have the intention to spoil. Excuse me, he had the intention to spoil the wine to mess him up.
No, his intention was idolatry. He wanted to worship idols. He was stirring it to worship idols. He did it as a religious service. Yesterday we said that if somebody deliberately tries to, a non-Jew touches wine just to prohibit to the Jew, in that case the rabbis never made the prohibition. It doesn't become prohibited. So they say an interesting story I saw in the back, in the Nekudas HaKesef. So he related this story about his father. And he was sitting once and there was wine and a non-Jew touched the wine. So he said, oh my gosh, now we can't drink the wine. So the non-Jew said, no, you could drink the wine, because I'm touching it deliberately to mess it up to you. And if I touch it deliberately to mess it up to you, then it doesn't become prohibited.
Right.
Go ask your father. So he went and he asked his father. His father said, but if he knows that when he touches it deliberately to mess it up, it doesn't become messed up, then he's not really touching it to mess it up, because he knows it doesn't become messed up. Then it does become messed up.
Really true.
So messed up.
So Rabbi, when he says that not to make any profit from the sale of the, you know, wine which is contaminated, whatever, does that mean that whatever the cost was to recover the cost of the grapes and everything, or it means profit on the top of the cost?
He's saying you can get reimbursed in terms of damages. The non-Jew damaged you, he can pay you for what he damaged. But you can't sell, you can't earn money on
it. So you lose the whole value of the grapes and every total loss. Is that what it is?
No, we're saying here that the non-Jew can reimburse you because he damaged it.
How about if they don't?
Then they don't. Then you lost.
So
you... You cannot sell the wine on the market as a wine and recover the...
So the
no, you cannot.
The amount of your investment, whatever you paid for the grapes.
You have to throw it out.
Yeah.
Just dump it out.
Yeah, it's a Avodah Zarah wine.
With the casket.
Yeah, the casket too. It has a forbidden taste in it.
You can't make it half can, half a goy, make it.
No. So, just to start the beginning of the next story, Ahu Chavisa de Chamra, there was a story with a barrel of wine. The Ishtakel Barza, the faucet was removed from the barrel. So, Aso with Kochavim, so a Gentile came, Idri, he jumped. Anach Yada Ilave, he put his hand at that point to stop the wine from spilling out. So, Rav Papa said, whatever is there next to where this faucet would have been, that's prohibited. But the rest of the wine in the barrel is allowed, because he didn't touch the other wine, so the wine on the sides of the faucet would be allowed.
Rabbi, I thought we heard that you touched it down, coming down the stream from the press. That it will
we'll see,
out.
That's the other opinion. That's the next opinion that we'll see tomorrow. Okay. Thank you, Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah Kodesh.